Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. Great to be with you on a Memorial Day weekend. Hope that you're enjoying your Saturday. Maybe the weather's clearing up for you, depending on what part of Central Texas you're listening to us. You may be listening online. The show reaches 44 counties in the Central Texas area, but online, you can listen to us all across the world. But here in Texas, you know, our veterans mean a lot to us as we take time to reflect this weekend, spend time with family. Also, some folks are out of school, a lot of different things happening as we get close to summer. But goodness gracious, there is no question that the most talked about issue this week and for quite some time is the issue of privacy and safety, not only in our public schools, but in other public places across the state of Texas. And the fact that we have government officials at the federal level, they were doing it at the local level, now they're doing it at the federal level, actively trying to force public schools across the country to allow boys into girls' bathrooms. This is coming from the Obama administration. And so we're not going to delay anymore on getting into our big issue of this week and our special guest. We are delighted to welcome back to the Texas Values Report, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. General Paxton, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Jonathan, I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, just as a reminder, General Paxton is the 51st Attorney General of the great state of Texas. He's also the son of an Air Force veteran. I might ask him about that later in the show if we've got time. But the big news this week, General Paxton, was the very important move that you, along with 10 other states, made with a lawsuit that was filed here in the state of Texas to push back, if you will, to make a statement, to make a stand against the continued encroachment of the federal government. The Department of Justice and a whole host of their characters have put forth a directive trying to force our public schools to allow boys into girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, essentially violating their power. You know more about it than I do. This is your specialty with your expertise and your staff. You filed a very important lawsuit on Wednesday to put Texas in a position to where we have a say in this and the people are heard. Tell us a little bit more about that litigation, sir.
Yeah, so as you are well aware, this the Obama administration passed not only allowing boys and girls to cross lines in bathrooms, but also locker rooms and then overnight stay. So it'll have a dramatic impact. But the lawsuit itself obviously relates to federal law, Title IX and Title VII, and our argument is, I think, very strong. The president changed the law, redefined the definition of sex to include gender identity. And the reality is that particular issue has been addressed by Congress. It was addressed by Congress in the 60s and 70s when they passed the statute. Since that time, a few congressmen have tried to change the definition, and it's been unsuccessful. And so in this case, the president decided, without congressional approval, that he wanted to change the law. And we all know that Congress is the only entity that has the ability to do that, and the president under the Constitution doesn't have that ability. So we sued, along with 10 other states in the Northern District of Texas, to stop that from going into effect.
I'm excited about what you're doing on this issue, what your staff, your team, the leadership that you and your office continue to show. And for our listeners, they can see the lawsuit and the complaint and all that at txvalues.org. But let me just list the other states for our listeners. First of all, we've got the state of Texas in the Herald Independent School District, which is North Texas, very North Texas. Then you've got the state of Alabama, the state of Wisconsin, West Virginia, Tennessee, the Arizona Department of Education. You've got the governor of the state of Maine. You've got the state of Oklahoma, state of Louisiana, state of Utah, Georgia, a lot of support regarding this issue, standing with us in the state of Texas on this issue. The other thing I want to do, too, is reset things, if you will, or make sure our listeners understand, because I'm sure they've read what the other side have said, or may have read things on this. The timing of this is very important and the backdrop of it, because what the media and some of those in the left, if you will, are trying to say, oh, Texas is starting this bathroom war. No, no, no. That is not what's happening, people. We are simply trying to ensure that the law is followed, the Constitution is protected, and that we don't have the Obama administration or other governmental entities telling us what to do and jeopardizing the privacy and safety. And this goes back to Houston, the city of Houston. Their elected officials tried to force businesses and others to allow men into women's bathrooms, and not only force them, but if they didn't, they could have been fined up to $5,000. That's where this issue really started, and it's been happening in other cities. The voters said no to that. Once it got on the ballot almost 2 years later, and everybody knows about that fight, you've heard me talk about that, 6139. So here the people have spoken in the big city of Houston, fourth largest city in the country. And then now you'd think, okay, to a large degree, that issue should have been settled. They tried to do it in Dallas. And then here comes the federal government after this issue comes up in North Carolina, and they try to fight back for privacy and safety. You got the Obama administration say, well, we'll just tell everybody what to do in public schools without, like you said, any congressional authority. So our position on this is to make people help people understand the reason, one of the big reasons Texas is doing this is because other governmental entities have pushed us into a position where now state leaders like yourself are forced to respond to protect privacy and safety and the integrity of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I was on CNN yesterday, and I was asked by Ashley Banfield, I think is her name, and she said that she wanted to know why we started this. And I said, well, actually, we didn't start this. The Obama administration is the one that issued these guidelines. All we're doing is responding to protect the safety and well-being of our children. There's, 100,000 schools in this country, millions of school children that are now at risk. And secondly, to protect against the federal government taking away our federal funding for our schools. So that's obviously a threat, and we take it seriously. And they're trying to use the threat of that money to force school districts to change. And so it was interesting that she asked the question that way, but obviously we didn't start this fight, but we will finish it.
Absolutely. We had the pleasure of watching your press conference on Wednesday to live stream that with our office. We had some other friends in the office, and you made the statement about, we'll finish it, or the superintendent from Herald Independent School District talked about, seeing this fight through. And there was at one point where they asked you some question, and your response was the Constitution and that authority and that those principles along with it are always worth fighting for. They tried to get you into some discussion about, how much is this going to cost and so on, as if to divert from the issue. And I loved your response. The Constitution is always worth fighting for. And if people know me, I'm kind of a high-energy, passionate guy. I let out a big cheer in my office. I think I scared some people when you said that at your press conference. But that is exactly what's going on. And you make a great point. What's underlying this is an effort by the Obama administration to put the words gender identity in federal law when they are not in federal law, particularly as it pertains to the issue of Title IX. Obviously, there's references to Title VII. There's a great line in the opening of the federal complaint. And so, as a lawyer myself, I actually read the complaint and read through this. Who knows what the media does? But there's a great line. I want to just read it for our listeners. What the lawsuit says that was filed. Defendants, and this is talking about all the variety of government officials that y'all have filed against at the federal level. I'll just call them the feds. The feds have conspired to turn workplaces and educational settings across the country into laboratories for a massive social experience, flouting the democratic process and running roughshod over common sense policies protecting privacy. Defendants rewriting Title VII and Title IX is wholly incompatible with congressional text and irreconcilable with decades of precedent. Absent action in Congress, the states or local communities, defendants cannot foist these radical changes on the nation. Those are so important for people to understand. It's not just about the substance, if you will, of what the issue of what the federal government is doing in jeopardizing privacy and safety in bathrooms. It's also the fact they had no authority to do it.
No, absolutely. This is what the Obama administration has been doing in the last couple of years, is they are desperately trying to get their agenda through, because the president has never been willing to work with Congress, never been willing to negotiate. And so in a desperate attempt to get many of his policies through, he's just changing law. And if we allow that to take place, whatever the issue, whether it's, you know, immigration or this or whatever the issue, whether it's the EPA, it doesn't really matter, because if you set that we allow that precedent to go into place where one person can unilaterally change the law, we've lost our representative form of government. We've lost the foundation of our Constitution. We are operating in a new world, and we just can't let that happen, no matter what the issue is.
That's an excellent point, too. And you touched on this a little bit earlier. The issue, part of this is about the wording, gender identity. They've tried to push this into federal law. They've tried to push it into state law. You've got a background at the state legislature. I've seen that issue come up. Those words have been rejected. Legislation that relates to it has been rejected because there's a lot of problems. That's a whole nother show that we've talked about before. But that my point is, they've tried to go through the legislative process, and it's been rejected. The people, through their representatives, have not supported it. They had a law at the federal level that they've tried to push with this type of issue for decades, almost two decades, never been able to get enough support. So Obama says, oh, well, I'll just write a directive, and we'll just do it with, you know, without the authority of the people. And you're exactly right. No matter what the issue is, that's a dangerous precedent, and it causes problems. But what's interesting about this issue, it's very clear. Everyone's talking about it. There are people that want to have a say on it. And it's very new. You talked about this in your press conference. They asked you some hypotheticals that obviously the media does sometimes to try to divert the conversation in a different direction. But I really enjoyed your response talking about, look, we don't have a lot of studies to go from on whether or not these are good ideas to follow anyway, because they're such new concepts. And when you go through the legislative process, that's when you make your case. They're not able to make their case on dramatic changes in law. And there's nothing really to support what they're doing now, which makes their argument even weaker. But now that we're in court, now we've got an even stronger fighting chance to push back and to show the federal government and in the Fort Worth School District or whoever tries to make these changes, that we will go at this fight every step of the way and wherever we have to, and that we take this issue seriously. Your office takes this issue seriously. The state of Texas does. The people care about this issue. And so now we've got a fighting chance, if you will, if they want to take this battle to court, as Obama has already done in North Carolina.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we've got a chance. If the law still matters, if a plain reading of the statute is something that a court will interpret as a plain reading of a statute, will be successful, because it's very clear, no matter what these weird arguments are, that somehow, you know, they've incorporated these new definitions in, they're not there. And the reason we know they're not there is that they're not literally written into the statute of text, and we know that people have tried to put them in there. And so if anybody believed that they were there, then why were certain congressmen trying to put those definitions in?
Yeah, you're right.
Successfully.
You're absolutely right. They obviously mattered, and they tried, and it's been rejected. And look, that's how the process works. And I think it's important, too, when we talk about the issue of privacy and safety, these aren't hypotheticals as far as concerns about what's happening in the bathroom issue. We see Seattle has a policy like the one Obama is pushing. And because of that, a man wasn't even transgender, undressed in a woman's locker room at a public swimming pool. And he said, based on the new law, he had a right to be there. When he was asked to leave, he didn't leave. He stepped out for a minute and then came back in when some young girls were changing for the swim team. And so we see people using these issues. We see what's happening with incidents in Target. There was an issue at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. There were reports of these things happening in Houston when the vote over that issue was going on. There is a legitimate concern about privacy and safety. And I think it's interesting, too, because some people want to point to, oh, well, have there been actually any sexual assaults? Oh, are we supposed to wait until that happens and not use our common sense? Because a lot of women and young ladies will tell you just the presence of a man in a bathroom violates their sense of privacy and their expectation. And so I really am excited about the leadership your office is taking. You stepped in Fort Worth. We were there for a press conference a week and a half ago. And what's interesting about that Fort Worth policy that allows boys into girls' bathrooms in the public schools, they used the attempted change in the law by the Obama administration as their reason. So the Obama administration was getting at public schools even before this directive here in Texas, making it more important what your office is doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, that press conference we were at with all of those parents, you could see clearly that this is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is an issue that crosses all socioeconomic, ethnic, party lines, because fundamentally, parents and grandparents are worried about the safety and well-being of their children.
Well, and that is one of the primary roles of the government, and as you, as in your role as Attorney General, that's such a basic role. Set everything else aside, if we're not able to protect the safety of our citizens, you know, we're going to have trouble with a whole lot of other issues. And so I'm very encouraged by the fact that that is the biggest part of this issue, and that fits so perfect with the role that you're in and other government leaders. I just want to mention something to you as well, that one of the things that people will find on our website and our Texas Values Facebook page is a link and a way to send a thank you email to Attorney General Paxton and his staff, letting him know you stand to support them. Look, this isn't a numbers game per se. We've already had a ballot box issue. We know the number was 6139 in the biggest city in our state, fourth largest city in the country, at Houston, on this issue. But it's important for our listeners to understand that elected officials and folks in your position, General Paxton, also benefit by knowing that they have that support. So if people go to our website and our Facebook page, there's a way to link and send a thank you email to General Paxton and his staff, just as a small way to show gratitude for the leadership that you're demonstrating.
Well, I really appreciate that. And it's an honor to do this job. We're in the fight, and I believe we're going to win it.
Well, we're going to stand right there with you every step of the way. We continue to engage and educate people on this issue. We continue to equip our friends in Fort Worth and people through other parts of the state that are asking for insight and how to understand this issue and how to get at it. And I just want to say, too, it's a little sidestep from the Obama administration, but the one in Fort Worth, as you know, it even goes into the issue of jeopardizing privacy, not letting parents know what's happening, and that type of policy in that school district deals with athletics. And they've opened up an even bigger can of worms over there. But I thank you for the work you continue to do. We're going to try to have you back on later this summer, because we know the decision over HB2, the law that protects the safety and regulations as it comes to abortion clinics, is going to come down from the U.S. Supreme Court sometime by the end of June. But before we let you go, if I can say, that's something as part of your family and legacy, being the son of an Air Force veteran, I know you care very much about folks that serve in military office. Being Memorial Day weekend, would love to hear you share just a little bit of your thoughts and encouragement for those that have served before and are currently serving.
Well, you know, the son of an Air Force pilot, my father was in the Air Force for 21, 22 years, and he served during the Vietnam War and during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So he was, I know the sacrifice that my family made, that he made, and how often he was gone from home. And so I have always appreciated people that are willing to serve the country and risk their lives, because I remember standing on a tarmac in upstate New York watching my father get on a plane, knowing that he may not come back. And I know what that feeling's like, and I appreciate the service of all of our veterans and our current members of the service.
Well, we appreciate you sharing with us. That is so good to hear and so encouraging, and not a surprise at all that someone like yourself, who has served in elective office, that has served the people of the great state of Texas, understands the value of service and also sacrifice. And just to remind our listeners, General Paxton was our 2015 Faithful Leader Award recipient. And I think by listening to this show, our listeners are just reminded of why. So we hope that you and Angela have a great Memorial Day weekend. I know there's a lot going on that you and your team have to keep track of, but we hope you'll have some time to spend with family and reflect over this extended weekend. And we are grateful for the faithful leader that you are, and we hope to have you back again on the Texas Values Report.
Well, Jonathan, it's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I appreciate the work that you do, and I hope that you and your family as well have a great Memorial weekend. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. Thank you, General Paxton. What a great segment. So exciting to have our Texas Attorney General on. I mean, that is what's happening. That is the hot issue right now. That's the tip of the spear. I mean, you've got it straight from the Attorney General's mouth. What's happening with his office? They are fighting this daily. He has been on a host of different shows all across the country, an extensive travel schedule, I'm sure, over the past 3 or 4 days. This issue has gotten tremendous coverage, which we are thankful for. And, you know, that's what happens when Texas does something. Okay, we've known, boy, if Texas steps into this fight, files litigation, says something, whatever it is Texas does on this issue is going to get a lot of attention, and rightly so. You know, you've had Obama and some of the folks on his side of this issue in the federal government really getting a lot of the attention and trying to control the narrative, if you will. You heard General Paxson say he got asked that question of suggestion, oh, y'all started this fight. So if you're new to this issue, oh, yes. And there's actually a piece by a publication called the Texas Observer, which I don't think they produce anything that's all that objective or fair. But nonetheless, they produce this long article saying, oh, well, look, Texas is starting this fight. And they try to rewrite the timeline of the history. And they even misstate when the Houston fight started. They claim that the Houston fight started when we voted on the issue in November 2015. Excuse me, let's back up 18 months before that to May of 2014, when Marinese Parker started this fight and we were forced to fight back. And so, you know, and not to get too much into that, but that's the game the media wants to play. Let's set the record straight. These issues have come up because local government leaders and folks in Obama's administration continue to push them. They don't have support for them. They try to pass them at the local level. The people repeal them. What more is it going to take for these people to get the message that these policies are not supported and they've been rejected and they're problematic? There's no question. And so, but look, they're just going to put their head down and use whatever, you know, lines of authority they think they have or don't have or influence. So when you do that, why are you surprised that we're fighting back? You know what I think too? I think they want us to be shamed into not doing anything. That's part of the messaging. Oh, Texas is starting this fight, so it's your fault. They want to, you know, misplace the blame and just put us in the position to go, oh, well, you know, we didn't want to cause any problems. You know, let's keep the peace. You know, Christians, y'all just turn the other cheek. Look, when you have the I think there are some religious liberty elements to some of these policies, but by and large, a lot of this is just about basic privacy and safety. I mean, and let's not take for granted, is the point I made earlier, what it feels like to be a young lady or a woman in a bathroom stall, knowing a man is right next to you or is right outside the door. There's not a lock on the door per se, like it's somebody's just individual bathroom. And so I just think the way that the other side is trying to desensitize this issue and act like it's not a big deal. If it's not a big deal, like the General Paxson brought up, then why have they been trying to push for this change in the law for 20 years? You better believe it's a big deal to them. And if they're going to fight to the end on this, you better believe Texas will as well. All right, we're going to run out of time before I bring on another important guest. Okay, my son, Jonah Sines, is in the studio because he had a very good spring. He did two incredible things. One thing he did was he made the all-star team for his baseball team, but he advanced to the regional competition for PSIA, which for private schools is academic competition and different competitions that they do. He got third place for his region for storytelling. So, and I was telling him driving over here, well, that's kind of what daddy does, right? It's kind of what I do on the radio. We tell stories. Now, they're true. Some people would probably argue with me about that they don't like what I have to say. But we're telling stories. We're recounting what's happening on the show. You've got to have energy. You got to be enthusiastic. You got to really get people engaged and make them interested. So Jonah competed in this kind of field and got third place in the field of storytelling. Jonah is 8 years old. Jonah Sines, welcome to the Texas Values Report.
Hi.
You having a good day today?
Yes.
Yes? Your school is out. Your summer has started.
Yes.
Yeah. What was it like to be in storytelling and to have your eyes all opened up and to use your hands and just really get into it? Did you have fun doing that?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you think you're ready to maybe have your own radio show?
Yes.
Oh, you too? Okay. All right. Well, if I have to call in sick one day, maybe I'll turn over the microphone to you and we'll see what you're made of. What do you think? You think you can handle it? I don't know. 26 minutes. You can't really have any downtime. You can't take a break. You got to just keep going. You think you could do it?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like telling stories? You like getting all excited and describing what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you're in the middle, well, your second part of your baseball season. Are we going to have some fun this summer with baseball?
Yes.
What I like most about Jonah is when the ball's coming, because I was the pitcher for his team. He's in a division where I would pitch to our team. I'd see his eyes light up. They'd get real big. And, man, he would lock in. Is that what you do, Jonah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we call that? When Jonah's locked in and he's ready to hit and you're in the zone, what's it called? Do you remember what we called it? Jonah time. It's Jonah time. Jonah was a very clutch player. So I was excited about his development. And so anyway, we'll see. Jonah, congratulations for getting third place in your competition. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. All right, so Jonah does very well in storytelling, and we're going to continue to work on his development behind the microphone and see what he's made of as the years progress. So, but it's always fun to bring my family on every now and then when I can. My kids like the concept of radio and the radio show, and they get to hear me every now and then. And so thank you for letting me share that moment with you. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget about, though, the sacrifice that people before us have made and they're still making today to protect our constitutional rights, to protect the concepts of freedom and liberty, religious freedom that we have in our country. The United States, the best country out there, United States of America, one nation under God, we are. Don't forget that. Those values are always worth fighting for. And as General Paxton said, the Constitution is always worth fighting for. Go to txvalues.org to learn more about the work we're doing. Go to our Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter, wherever you like to engage in the virtual world. The end of the month is coming up. We're a 501c3 organization, tax deductible. Please make a donation. We have a $750,000 budget every year that we're coming up on the deadline to support. txvalues.org. Make a donation today. Come back next week. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 12:30 on the bridge, where you'll hear about in Texas what's happening on faith, family, and freedom.